Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome to the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh Aul.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of the Dogs. As Blake mentioned last week, he's enjoying the beautiful hurricane weather in Cancun yesterday. So he's on his honeymoon. As far as we still know, he's still married. We'll see if Kiva's still putting up with him when he gets back next week. So before we get started with this episode, check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you're new to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe to us if you're watching on YouTube. We're always looking for more subscribers. So we kind of kicked this week off. Browns win a thriller against the Bengals, 37-34. We moved to 5-2. What's your guys' quick thoughts here about the game before we dive in?
Probably one of the craziest Browns games. One of the best Browns games that I've watched where there was a good ending to it. Yeah. I've seen bad ones. I've seen ones that are unbelievable. I sent out a text with like a minute to go, and I'm like, I'm not even nervous right now. Baker's got this. As I send that message, I'm very nervous. I'm sweating. And it was one of the – I mean, obviously, I believe it's Baker's best game he's ever played. That Jets game where he debuted was awesome. You have to put this one over that.
Well, I mean, you set a team record.
Yes.
What was it? It was 22 straight completions.
Yep.
And the only reason there was an incompletion was because he clocked the ball. So I don't even count that.
No.
Right.
I mean,
situational.
Yeah. And once again, we see the Browns win a game instead of lose it. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it was one of those games where any other year, it's over.
Right.
It's over. As soon as they take the lead like that, done. Forget it.
Oh, and what a wild fourth quarter. Like,
back and forth. The entire game, yes. But really in the fourth quarter
really picked up. I think I heard it was a record for 5 go-ahead game-winning scores. Back and forth. They're just...
Yeah, 34 total points scored in the fourth quarter.
All offense.
Yeah.
Defense.
No defense.
Defense did not show up for either team. Maybe here and there, but not right. really.
Yeah, it was
really.
Almost more offensive mistakes rather than good defense.
Yes, yeah.
That happened. Some injuries. We lose OBJ, you know, first pass play, I think, of the game. Baker trying to force him the ball. Got some mixed feelings on some fans out there, whether we think that's a big deal or not. We'll kind of get into that. But I knew when he didn't come back out that it was probably pretty serious. He went straight to the locker room. He was able to walk off. So that's
I've seen him so many torn ACLs this year that I kind of know what it looks like now.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as it happened, it kind of just. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, well, it's a bad throw, and the announcers, you know, saying that they didn't think that maybe he thought the ball was coming to him because, you know, he's been one where bad throws have been thrown to him before this year, and he's kind of been defensive back mode and try to break up the pass, and he almost didn't realize it was intercepted until like a second, like, oh, wait, the play's still going. Yeah. They just caught the ball and kind of ran down, and, I mean, I was thinking right there, and then I was like, here we go again. Baker from last week is here this week, and things looked very bad.
I was dropping expletives outside of my house. I was hoping, so we had like a little get together at the house with the family, and as my family's pulling up, I'm outside like talking to my mom, and I'm like, Baker, he's done. I can't. He got OBJ hurt. Treader's out. Like, you know,
right.
And at one point, while I'm watching those next couple moments, I don't know if you guys caught this, but he walked up to Treader and he tried to say something to him like, hey, you know, are you okay? And Treader kind of walked away and I said, well, this is not good.
Right.
Like, I think heading into this game, he kind of like was losing control of the locker room a little bit. And then I was like, well, this is for sure where the wheels are starting to fall off. And then obviously completely put the team on his back. And he needed this. He needed this more than anybody else on that team. You can make an argument for anybody in the NFL, this was the guy that needed this game this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And big time.
I guess it just kind of dawned on me because I'm thinking, wow, you know, he had a 5-touchdown game. He's never had that before. Like, that's awesome, you know, really showing it up. And pretty sure Mitchell Trubisky did that last year, one game. You know what I mean? Yeah. I hate thinking that, but it's just those other names come up. It's like, oh, well, I guess it can be done.
Right.
And the national media is going to tell you, hey, and even we even talked about it. This was against the Bengals. You know,
right.
Oh, yeah. That's the big story.
Yeah.
It's against the Bengals. Can you do it against somebody else? That's been the story since the last second ticked off the clock.
Yeah. Well, the difference, though, between Baker and Trubisky, though, when I start to really think about it, I'm like, well, I saw Baker do this kind of performance 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. This is what he did the majority of that season. This is how he played. Yep. He was accurate. He was hitting the open guy. So, and Trubisky, that.
Yeah.
You know, enough said.
Yep. Yeah, we got some hot takes on what we think the Browns offense is going to be moving forward. As we kind of touched, J.C. Treader went down on the exact same play. Looked like his was going to be serious as well, the way he was kind of acting about it, but he actually didn't miss a snap once the offense got back on the field, so that was a plus. Still no Wyatt Teller, no Austin Hooper this week. Had the kind of emergency surgery. He'll probably be out 2 weeks, they said. It could be a third.
He'll be back after the bye, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's what we're thinking. We did get Ronnie Harrison back and Carl Joseph. Ronnie Harrison actually played 63 snaps out of the 75 on defense, so played a big role. Carl Joseph just 12, so he wasn't, you know, fully back, ready for action, but at least back in a limited fashion. But pretty much that was our, you know, injury recap from this game. So now we move on to our recap here of the game. We kind of touched on it already. Complete the season sweep against the Bengals. So we win the Battle of Ohio for the year. Kind of weird that we're already done with one of our division opponents early in the year, kind of how the schedule fell. So Baker starts, you know, put on here 0-for-5 with a pick and had us thinking, here we go again. I mean, and we kind of touched on that. It looked like it was a replay of the week before. I'm sure fans out there were thinking Case Keenum better get a ball in his hand. And we got lucky too on that first drive of the game. So Bengals are going right down the field, and we get that just tip pass for an interception. And I'm thinking, okay. And then our offense comes out and does that.
Stagnant.
Right back to them. They get right in scoring, you know, range and score, you know, within seconds after the turnover. But Baker, you know, finishes 22-23 for 297, 5 touchdowns, a 135.6 rating for the game. And we kind of touched on it. You know, he's looking like he's that old Baker from a couple years ago. Freedom in the offense, not trying to force one guy the ball, trying, you know, looking down one receiver and then panicking when he's not open, having to throw to somebody else. It was good to see, you know, some of these other guys get involved in the game, like a Rashard Higgins stepped up. Showed the talent that he has, 6 catches, 110 yards.
Yeah, it was crazy how loose Baker looked out there, just from how the game started.
Yeah.
It was literally a tale of two Bakers. And we're seeing that, but usually it's spread out over a week.
It was almost like a huge weight had been lifted from his shoulder.
Do you have a specific
weight? After a certain point in the game.
Probably 13. So, and Baker, Blake's not here to defend himself on this, because this is an age-old argument here.
No, but he's gonna bombard the chat here.
Yeah, he will be chirping, I'm sure. I mean, we've talked about it. How often do we think Baker looks like this because he's so worried about feeding the ball to Odell?
I believe, based on what I saw Sunday and based on what I've seen the last 2 years, the good year and then last year, the bad year, I think Beckham's a problem.
I mean, he's been, if you look at the pieces that we have, I think if you take a look at all the pieces that our offense has, now we've added, you know, a Kareem Hunt, we've added an OBJ, but pretty much everybody else other than, okay, tight end-wise, we've had Austin Hooper, I guess, but some of those guys that are making plays now are the guys that were making plays 2 years ago when Greg Williams took over and Baker kind of, you know, broke out and put up big numbers. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, we kind of talked about it before the show, before we came on the air of, Justin said, why isn't Higgins on the field more? Like
every play.
Yeah. And now, okay, so what do we see? How does he get on the field more? OBJ gets hurt, and now Higgins is a focal point. Now DPJ steps into, you know, that Higgins role from the first couple weeks.
Yep.
So I'm going to read a stat, and I mean, this is going to be kind of crazy because it's one way. OBJ is going to have a bigger percent of this. So this is based on targets from Baker. Baker to OBJ, yards per attempt, 7.6 yards. Throws 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Passer rating is 72.4. With Higgins on the field, when he's targeting him, it's 10.9. 7 touchdowns, 3 picks, and the passer rating is 125.5. And I'll be the first. This was on Get Up, and I'll be the first to say, Higgins is not OBJ.
Right.
Talent-wise, there is a huge, huge discrepancy between that guy and the next guy. But there's something there. There's something there that either it's Baker feels more comfortable.
Yeah, the chemistry.
There's something there. Well, yeah.
Okay, and when you say that Higgins is not OBJ.
Absolutely.
Okay, now,
oh, boy. Here we go. Hot
day. Yeah, hold on. Because he for sure isn't.
Okay, yeah. OBJ is an athletic freak. He really, he's fast. You know, he can make those acrobatic catches and all that kind of stuff. I mean, when it comes to that kind of stuff, yes. And that's how we talked about this before the show. That's how he's made his name. That's how he's built this elite status. Yeah. But is he an elite route runner?
Right. Yeah.
Why last year when we were throwing the ball, we were pass happy like crazy, was he getting 3 catches a game? 4, you know, low volume and catches. He's never open. Baker's throwing all these interceptions trying to go to OBJ. Well, because he's covered.
Right.
Why? And then as soon as OBJ goes out, and I think you texted everybody and said, why are our receivers never open? And then all of a sudden, every pass Baker threw was to an wide open receiver for the most part.
Yeah, and it was like a tale of two different offenses, you know, from what we've seen. Guys not getting open, and that's kind of, I mean, it's got a lot of people's question of, are we better on offense without Odell Beckham Jr.? And, you know, there's a lot of kind of proof out there that we might be. And we'll see, you know, if this was just the Bengals, we'll see going forward. But, you know, Odell, when he was his time in New York, he kind of lived on outrunning the defender, catching, you know, a 5-yard slant and just taking it to the house, putting up huge numbers that way. Or Eli Manning just kind of throws off his back foot a 50-yard bomb and Odell, you know, Randy Moss is somebody for the catch. Yep. Those were, you know, but that's what you came accustomed to when you talked about Odell Beckham. And, you know, it hasn't translated to Cleveland, you know, that success. Now, you know, Blake would argue, you know, he's the best wide receiver on the team. He had almost 1,000 yards last year. He ended up with 1,000 yards. Yeah. So that's what Blake, I'm sure, sitting on the beach somewhere, you know, thinking.
Drinking
right
a Mai Tai.
Yeah.
Talking about OBJ.
That's what he's thinking. Yeah. But I'll be interested to see if, having that freedom now, having OBJ out of the offense this week, now we get to prepare because this was unprepared too, mm-hmm. you know, going into this week. So now we'll get to see, you know, where we go going forward.
Yep.
With the wide receivers, because Higgins, you know, increased playing time, played 44 snaps. Donovan Peoples-Jones was on the field for 36 snaps of the 52. So now we're going to get, you know, that next guy up, next man up mentality. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, showed us a lot of people, you know, we've questioned him here, like, man, is this guy even really good? What are we doing? Never had a 100-yard game at Michigan. Well, I don't need him to have 100-yard games if he's just making big-time catches like he did this week.
He's a rookie receiver, which wide receiver is a tough position to transition to from college to the NFL anyway. He's gotten little to no playing time to this point in the season. He's thrust into a game, into a situation where it's win or go home, like on this play.
Absolutely.
And he makes the catch.
And not just a catch.
A spectacular
catch.
That throw, that catch, that is some, it sucks because it's against Cincinnati.
Right.
If that's against Pittsburgh, crown him.
Right.
Now, I don't know if he's going to be like that against Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh fans are out here probably losing their minds. But literally, that'll be a moment for me as a Browns fan. I know there's a lot of young Browns fans probably out there. I can say as a 34-year-old guy, I've seen some terrible, terrible dark days. There's not many of those kind of moments for me.
Right.
Like 2007, Derek Anderson. Those were some good days.
Right.
Me. That was about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's a moment that I'll.
And I'll be honest, when that catch, I didn't think that he got in bounds.
No.
I didn't think he got in bounds on the catch. No. Yeah. When I saw it, and I didn't even, like, normally big Browns plays, I'm jumping up off the couch, you know, I'm screaming, going nuts. In that play, I was just like, man, did he get?
Oh, I was screaming.
And tell me he got that second foot.
That's another thing as a rookie, because last year he's in college. All you got to do in high school and college is get one foot in.
Right.
That's all there. I mean, you try to get two if you can, but you're worried about getting one. Yeah. He got both, like a pro.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, as us sitting at home watching these games and other fans of the NFL, I don't think any of us realize how hard, and how talented some of these guys are that make some of the toe tap, you know, catches that they do.
We're not doing that in my backyard. I can promise you that any combination of all four of us are not doing anything like that. Doesn't matter how many Bud Lights we have on a backyard barbecue. We're not doing anything that.
We can pull the hammies and tear the ACLs with the best of them, but I don't think we're making catches like that.
I'm riding IR all year.
I was going to say, Blake, thanks for tuning into the show, by the way, Blake. Appreciate it. Hope you're enjoying your honeymoon, man. Says, no reason Baker should be worried about feeding the ball to Beckham. Beckham has never once complained about not getting the ball. He just wants to win. How do we know that?
Right. I think that there's kind of this sense, though, that Baker is playing with. If there's one guy that I kind of want to be on my side that could create some waves, create some problems, if he really wanted to, would be Odell Beckham.
The thing is, Beckham doesn't have to go to the media to say, I need the ball more, to be a complainer about it. He could he very easily be walking up to Mayfield's locker, you know, before game, after game, saying, you'd be throwing me the ball more or something.
Right,
you know? Baker's not going to come out and be like, Beckham's been complaining to me.
Right.
That's not that's not how it works. So who knows what's being said behind closed doors.
I think it's just more of a Baker pressure.
Like. Well, and I'm not, and I'm okay with Odell saying that to an extent, especially when you're not playing good football. Like, hey, man, give me the ball. Cause you know, I'm going to help us win. You know, I can see him coming at that, and I have no problem with that at all. But I think, when you look at it from Baker's perspective of how he looked at times when he's throwing Odell the ball and when he compared to when he's not, you know?
Right.
And it's a small sample size for this year that we've seen that, because last year, you know, it was a little bit of the same type of thing, but we blamed Freddie. It was Freddie's fault. Freddie can't get him open. Freddie, you know, the scheme, you know, he's got to be able to, you know, scheme these guys open, run some plays, get them open. Well, you know, it's kind of the same thing that we were seeing this year until...
That is funny. It is funny because if you think about it, we did have Freddie Baker's rookie year.
Yeah.
But we didn't have Beckham.
Right.
Maybe, last year we had Freddie and Beckham.
Right, he's here. If he's listening to the Dogs podcast, he's putting this soundbite. Like, hey, look, they saw it. They knew it. It was OBJ's fault.
Well, and the thing is... the only really stuff we have to base stuff on is last year and the rookie year. But Baker's rookie year, he didn't need a number one receiver.
No.
You know what I mean? Jarvis was never a number one receiver, true number one in Miami.
No, absolutely.
But he was a possession receiver, a move the sticks kind of receiver, and that's what he came here. And he ended up being a, you know, down the field threat anyway. But Yep. Right. Baker was spreading the ball around.
Yep.
Very well. And, you know, I was just like watching the Buccaneers over the weekend. There's not a number one receiver at all in Tampa Bay.
Not yet.
Nope.
Tom Brady will throw the ball to whoever he wants when they're open.
And that's
it doesn't matter who you are. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, doesn't matter.
Yep.
If you're open, I'll give it to you. If not, just keep running routes.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And I think another thing that, you know, I put on here contributed to Baker's success, you know, because, I mean, he was on fire after his poor starts of the game. Offensive line looked good.
Yes.
Kind of returned to form. We knew that Cincinnati's defense wasn't great, but really no pass rush to deal with at all. Didn't give up any sacks after I think we gave up eight last week. Or not eight last. Was it eight hurry? Eight knockdowns. He got knocked down eight times.
Sacks.
Four sacks. He got knocked down eight times. Baker, you know, didn't have to worry that or look over his shoulder before, when he touched the ball that he had somebody in his face. So the line, you know, kind of looked good. So now I kind of question a little bit going back to last week. We were like, man, our line looked terrible. But how much was it that the Steelers front is just super good, super talented?
Well, obviously, if you watched any other football over the weekend, they are very for real. Yeah. They are very good. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, you can talk all you want. You guys are very legit on both ends of the ball.
Well, them and the Bengals. And I read a thing today, and I was like, okay, this is so true. I mean, it comes with being a Browns fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we lose a game, we freak out, we win a game, we're the best. But if you said at the beginning of the year, after seven games, you guys are going to be 5-2, and your two losses are Steelers and Ravens, we all would have said, that's awesome. Those are your two losses? No
Taking
kidding.
It.
Yeah. No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Of course we're going to lose to the Ravens. Like, we expect that. Because they're just on a different level than we are right now. But games like this against the Bengals, and, you know, moving forward, and if we do the same kind of thing against the Raiders and go into the bye, it's like,
man,
maybe once this offense starts, you know, progressing even more, Stefanski's doing a good job.
Yeah,
maybe not. I mean, this year we could still make the playoffs this year very easily. And
yes,
the schedule is
super favorable.
Super easy.
Yeah, it's not the schedule that's going to stop us from getting to the playoffs.
I see three teams and I'm like, well, those might be losses.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and Baltimore,
Baltimore of them. Titans.
But the thing is, so if we lose the games that we're not supposed to win, but we win the ones that we are,
man,
we're 11-5. We're in the playoffs.
And those teams are bad. They are Jets, Jaguars,
Giants.
Eagles. I mean,
right, you play the Eagles, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we definitely have a lot to look forward to. Like we said, we kind of got to spread the ball around. Harrison Bryant, two touchdowns. Njoku, a touchdown. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a touchdown. You know, more than one guy focused on. And, it showed, you know, you look at some of the great teams that are out there in the NFL, there's not one guy that they're just focused on getting the ball to every single play because it just doesn't work. It's not what works.
And credit the receivers. The balls that were getting thrown to them. Baker was chucking.
Harrison Bryant caught some fastballs.
That one in the end zone on his touchdown where Baker literally threw it as hard as he could at him. Some of the throws, I couldn't believe that they were catching him.
Well, that was one where he's like, there was one spot he could put it.
Yeah.
He had to stick it.
Yeah.
And he stuck it.
Stuck it big time.
I liked it. And Njoku's catch, I'm like, because I saw that.
Looked good.
The thing is, I saw the catch. I'm like, wow, who was that?
Athletic.
And Njoku.
And he caught it.
I'm like, what?
Those hands have been putting in some work.
This dude wants traded bad, man. He's making these kind of catches. Yeah.
Right.
Let's see what happens with.
I hope that, you know, because he kind of came out and he said that it wasn't true that he wanted traded, but I kind of don't believe. We'll wait and see. You know, because he played well this game. I had it marked down. Harrison Bryant played 40 snaps and Njoku played 31. So, I mean, maybe Hooper being out is not a blessing in disguise. So I bet maybe it kind of is that you keep Njoku happy for these next couple weeks. Cause I think that, I mean, we've shown that we can use him, in the offense. So, on the defensive side, not a lot of promising things from Sunday, but Myles Garrett forced his fourth, fumble, had two more sacks. He's got seven sacks now on the season. Second most in the NFL behind Aaron Donald. He is our game changer, and he does. I noticed it Sunday, bunch of double team blocks, and he's still able at some point in the game to be able to affect the outlook of the game. Because that fumble, one, we almost didn't recover it. I don't know what Olivia Vernon was doing.
Credit Harrison.
Olivia Vernon just
play. Oh, that one I was play. Pretty upset right there. Ugh. Vernon, I was like, dude, ball just fall on the ball. You are not like a running back going to scoop this thing up real smoothly and take it to the house, dude. Get on the ball. Like,
right.
If you're you know, it's rolling this way and you can scoop and run.
Great.
But you had people on you, like, just get on the ball, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big play there. You know, yeah, Harrison comes out of nowhere, just gets it before it goes out of bounds.
Beautiful.
So really though, I mean, we had a couple other, we had a, you know, the tip pick, but that was more just bad offense, a bad throw. Defensively, we'll get into, it was our biggest problem. We weren't stopping them from anything they wanted to do on the defensive side. You know, and I said, Brown shows some mental toughness to come back. You know, minute six remaining, Burrow scores the TD to Bernard. I know that there was a lot of Browns fans thinking, well, that's the game winner there. We better hold them to a field goal here. you know, we better hold them and not let them score. So, you know, it kind of leads me to think, you know, Stefanski's the guy. Culture's changing in Cleveland. We win the game in the final minute. You know, we're not living on the Browns years of the past. It seems like everything's kind of changing towards the better. Put a couple examples in here.
Throw those out there because young Browns fans don't know some of these. So, they might remember the Baltimore one. But.
Yeah, so like Dwayne Rudd removing his helmet.
Removing. And throwing it down the field.
And just celebrate and gets flagged.
Can't end the game on a defensive penalty, and Kansas City kicks a game-winning field goal.
Game winner. And, I mean,
after they sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
No. And then, obviously, the field goal attempt returned for a touchdown is time expired. I was at that game, and
we've joked about
it. Just a couple examples of...
It's crazy.
These are the things that normally happen to the Browns. Not going down, winning a game in the final minute. That happens to us. Those are the things that happen to us. So, Cincy, you can take your turn for a few years.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with... So, one of you guys texted, I think, during the game and said, is Baker going to out-duel a rookie?
Yeah.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
He did. And the thing is, to be under that kind of pressure, that throw to come down the field and everything, make those throws... And, you know, manage the game and then hit that touchdown pass. It's like, that's the type of quarterback that can lead a franchise.
Yes.
Put some respect
on, you got to be able to make those plays.
Put some respect on both those guys' names because Baker, hell of a performance. Joe Burrow is going to be a problem.
Yeah, he's
going to be. For years. He is legit.
Just put him in the Hall of Fame, man. Him and Mahomes. Jesus, he's good.
Burrow is the real deal.
He is, and
I know that there were some people, you know, that thought maybe he wasn't going to be, that it was because he played at LSU and they had all these NFL, you know, this talent.
Yeah,
this guy is great. And if they get him a defense, he needs a defense because he's shown, you know, they got offensive weapons and they didn't have Joe Mixon this week. You know, one of the better running backs.
Yeah.
So they don't have him, and he just lit it up himself. They didn't even really care about the run game. If anybody was the better running back, it was Joe Burrow was the running back because Bernard, you know, he did have 13 carries, 37 yards, but averaging 2.8 an attempt. Burrow averaging 5.7 for 34. Whenever they needed a big play, it felt like Burrow was going to do it on his legs. I think it was like a 3rd and 12.
And he ran it.
He gets, and what's he do? He gets up. And, you know, a little cocky, but hey, I like that a little bit. And points, you know, the first down as they're losing, as he's trying to win, going down on a game-winning drive. I like that a little bit. You got to have a little bit of that confidence, you know, booming to be successful, especially when you know that you're a 1-5 team.
Yeah. Well, how about Burrow has over 100 pass attempts against the Browns this year?
That's insane. Like, what?
As a rookie? No. Yeah. Come on. What quarterback plays in their division has over 100 pass attempts against one team?
The one on the really bad team. It's a really bad defensive.
It's crazy how successful he is at, you know, at this point in his career. No, you know, real big training camp with your team to get used to, you know, the system or anything like that. And he is super talented. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that Joe Burrow came out and played well because Baker has shown up in the games where he's been up against, you know, another Heisman-type quarterback, another big-time player that everybody's talking about. They're not talking about you, Baker. It's Joe Burrow's this new guy. He's the best. He's the newest quarterback in the AFC, and you know, he's going to take over by storm. Baker hears all those things, and he played with that confidence, and obviously he had a huge, you know, momentum going for three quarters of the game. Momentum was on his side, and that's when Baker is flourishing, when he's, you know, he's feeling a little bit cocky, and he's throwing touchdown passes, and he's sprinting down to the end zone before they even catch the ball. And that's the Baker we missed.
Yep. Those two guys put on a show on Sunday, and it was awesome. Yeah. I don't know how Cincinnati fans feel about it. If I'm Cincinnati fan, I'm
gotta
pretty
be encouraged.
Excited.
Yeah, you got to be encouraged.
I'm excited because even though you're like, oh, hey, these performances aren't equaling up to wins, man, the future is bright if
so,
you're a Bengals
fan. Yeah, so if you're the Bengals fan, just, okay, great, keep playing well, lose the games, and then go get a great pass rusher in the draft.
You'll be all right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So that pretty much nails everything about the good.
I like how on the sheet we've got the good offense, the bad defense.
Special teams.
Yes. So the bad, definitely looking at our defense, felt like we couldn't guard anybody on the outside. We know we kind of talked about it. I said Burrow's a rookie, right? 468 yards of total offense, and they just kind of did whatever they wanted in the passing game, and we didn't have any answer for it. You know, we said Myles Garrett had a couple sacks. That was it. I mean, we didn't get any pressure. We kind of talked about it last week saying, hey, we just want the defense to show up and make Burrow look like a rookie quarterback and put some pressure on him and make some plays, and we did nothing.
That's the problem with the way Myles Garrett is playing and the way that the offense has to give so much attention to him. There needs to be other guys on our defensive line. We need to be hearing their names on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? Because
we've been saying it for weeks. Somebody else needs to show up.
Yep.
It continues to be. I don't know how you guys feel about this. We kind of laughed about this. If I see Sendejo get burned more time, and there's just guys out there, like the trade deadline is coming up. Yes. Can we please go get somebody that can cover somebody? I love Terrence Mitchell. I really, really do. My goodness, he's looked bad the last couple weeks. We literally aren't even talking about Baker game-winning drive type stuff. If he catches a ball that is thrown just right to his hands.
Yes. But Terrence Mitchell the last 2 weeks has been bad. Really bad.
And I'm a Terrence. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, we liked him. He showed us the first couple games of the year. We're like, all right, you know, we're going to be okay until Greedy comes back. Yeah. Ever since it was Greedy's going to the IR, Terrence Mitchell must have thought, oh, man, I'm good. Yeah. I can't stop trying.
Anybody. Yeah, I'm locked into this spot for a few more weeks. All right, good.
Because he can't stop anybody on the back end. I mean, Carl Joseph came back, played 12 snaps. I need him to play 75 snaps, and I need Sendejo to play
zero
special teams. And just
zero snaps. No, just bag some groceries at Bueller's or whatever you want to do, bro. I don't care.
Yeah.
It is awful.
Yeah, it's bad. And I wonder how much of the Money Mitch issue is the lack of depth, you know, at cornerback, defensive back, because I don't know how much they wanted to rely on him to be like the guy over there, you know.
Right.
No. Rotate these guys in and out. You don't have to play the whole time. Like, just come in fresh.
You're a position.
Kind of the way we were doing with Hunt and Chubb and everything. Yeah. So,
It's
bad. It is bad.
Another guy that was bad on the defense in the secondary, Kevin Johnson. We brought him in to be our slot corner. We thought, hey, this is a good addition. We're getting a guy that we can kind of put one-on-one. He can guard some tight ends. And Bengals, they didn't have Joe Mixon, went a lot of three wide receiver sets. So that puts Kevin Johnson in the game. He had to play 63 of their 75 snaps. And anytime they put somebody in the slot, they were getting open. A big play that stood out to me was the penalties I put. We didn't have a lot of them, but they were just in such key moments of the game. Like a third down, we give them a penalty, they get a first down.
Yep.
The pass interference in the end zone on Kevin Johnson, they get the ball at the one, they score. Just untimely type things. And I hate, and it drives me nuts when I see guys commit pass interference and they're mugging the guy and they get the flag thrown and they're looking like, "Whoa, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious?"
Yeah.
There was a reason the guy didn't catch the ball is because you didn't allow him to catch the ball. Otherwise it's a touchdown.
Yep.
So he really struggled. I thought that was a good pickup at the beginning of the year. I thought he was really going to help us, and maybe Mitchell would have kind of helped in that slot if we'd had Greedy. So we do have some guys still out of place, but, man, our secondary is...
And a lot of things have happened, though, since we talked about that.
Yeah.
We thought Grant Delpit was going to be 2018 Grant Delpit.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we have in Grant Delpit.
Yeah, not at all.
So, I mean, so many injuries. We thought Greedy was going to be out there. He's
No, but I mean, I'm with you guys. Trade deadline deals need to happen.
Yes.
They need to happen.
Especially because we're showing, you know, we're showing that offensively. Now, we've had a couple bad games, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, yep. But offensively, every other game, successful. Okay, so what's stopping us from, you know, maybe taking that next level is, oh, hey, well, your team's got to be able to get stops because you're not going to outscore everybody. So yeah. I know, throw a name out there, like a Harrison Smith is out absolutely on the trade deadline. Great safety from Minnesota. Kind of has some ties to Stefanski. Maybe he can work something out, different, you know, conferences, you know, so they don't got to worry about trading him to a yep contender that they got to play, you know, the next couple of years. So maybe something like that works out. Also, Justin kind of brought it to our group chat that Adam Thielen on the trade, yeah, on the trade block, and kind of rumored.
So one of my buddies sent me, a guy I work with, he sent me a little thing and he said, have you seen this? And it just said, Adam Thielen, maybe to the Browns. And I was like, here's the thing.
All of a sudden, we forgot about OBJ. Yeah, we're like, all right, let's get rid of it.
Yeah, well, and here's my thing, too, is right now, for what you're going to probably give away, I mean, I like Adam Thielen a lot. He's very, very good, and he'd probably fit in great, knows the system. You're probably giving away, what, a second-round pick for him, something probably, like that?
Yeah, I would say at least.
But let's just see what we have Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, let's not hit the panic button.
No, I would go get defensive guys.
Absolutely. I would trade away a second for a lockdown safety or a linebacker or anybody that isn't going to just completely blow coverage every play. And just any, I'm not asking for a lot, guys. Cleveland management, well, are you hearing this? Please right, help me. Help a brother out. Say,
I thought I was looking up when the trade deadline actually is. I thought
November,
it was next week.
It's the number 12th, right?
The 3rd.
Okay. All right.
So election day. Okay. Trade deadline. So Sunday's the audition day, really.
Yeah.
Let's roll this team out and see. It's our last chance to see where the gaps are. We know where the major gaps yeah are, but what can we fill? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe we're okay at receiver.
I think we're going to be okay at receiver. Are you telling me there's nobody out on a practice squad that wants to play safety for the Browns on a 5-2 team?
I'm telling you.
There's nobody?
There's got to be somebody out there.
There's got to be somebody, right?
Somebody in junior college somewhere that just wants signed to come and play.
Anybody out in Australia playing rugby? There's got to be somebody, right?
Yeah. Please. I think that they got to do something, and I think that it'll be a big thing. You know, the Browns upper management, we got some new people in there. I think it shows the players on your team that we're, I think, doing, because in the past, Browns don't make any moves. We're not going to make any moves. If anything, we've always been the seller. It kind of shows your franchise, hey, we're turning a corner. We're trying to get some people in here. You know, we're in this, you know, to win, rather than, oh, we're just going to roll with the guys we got here. And then you see, you know, a Baltimore Ravens pick up Yannick Ngakoue. Yeah. So now we got to deal with him. Right. They get him.
It's time to start looking at, you know, as fans too, like just look at the teams that just suck this year. So, you know, the Giants, the Jets, the Vikings we talked about, the Jaguars, these guys are selling at the deadline.
Yep.
The Browns are buyers, like you said.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yep. I love being in this position. It's a little different.
Yes. Different.
It's weird.
It's definitely weird.
I don't know, something this, to get used I don't know to how this feels. I don't know. This is new for
I
me.
See Blake made a comment here. He said, we do need receiver depth. Jarvis is banged up. Okay.
That's fair. Yeah,
it is fair, but that's I will fair say once Hooper comes back, I mean, as depending on if we trade Njoku or not, but I mean, right, with Bryant and Hooper,
Bryant's for
I
real
mean, we use those tight ends now,
yes,
which we talked about before the season. I love that we're doing it.
Yes.
Tight ends, that's big if you can utilize them correctly.
Definitely. Some of the other bad things, all the receivers for the Bengals averaged at least 9 yards a catch. The only one with under 10 was Tyler Boyd. He had 11 catches for 100 yards. So that
he
was
underachieved a little bit.
Yeah, just a little just bit. Felt like he was open whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
Parkey missing that extra point after we get the touchdown. You go ahead and you're like, okay, we're just – thankfully there was only 11 seconds on the clock, because that would have been so Cleveland to – miss the extra point, give them enough time to go down and get a game-tying field goal.
Then go to overtime.
Which we still gave them too much hope on the kick return.
We talked about it. Yeah. We were like, we thought it was over, and then we're sitting there, and I'm like, me and Zach were talking about the Bengals game where A.J. Green, almost the same exact play, tip ball, and A.J. Green's just standing in the back of the end zone by himself and catches it, and it was against Baltimore. Yes. I don't know how long ago that was. Yeah, you said
I can't remember how long either.
Yeah, but I mean, I was like, I've seen that play before, and almost the same exact thing happens, tip ball. The ball was in the air for like
– felt like forever.
Forever, but it wasn't that
like
long.
It went
A.J. Green.
Yeah, yeah.
We just happened to be in between.
Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. But it went his way. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah, but I think if we go back, and if I'm going to pull it up real quick, the kick.
The squib kick was one.
Yeah, you don't kick it all the way to the end zone. You're like almost pooching it to like think that you're going to stop them. And
with our sweet defense.
Sweet special teams.
Yeah, we only kick it to the 18, and it's returned 24 yards by Gio Bernard all the way to the 42-yard line. If there's 10 more seconds on the clock,
yeah,
they get a field goal. They get a field goal.
And like I was telling you when you got here tonight, I was freaking out at that point because you know, of course, they put up the field goal line on the broadcast.
Oh, and
I'm like,
there.
You got to be kidding me. The one pass from Burrow and their field goal range, this is bull crap. And then I look down and I'm like, oh, there's only 3 seconds left. Thank God.
Right.
But I thought the same thing. I thought there was more time. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So Parkey missing that, you know.
Yeah,
makes me worry a little bit going forward now. Yeah. All of a
that
sudden,
was his
I
first
felt
one though, right? First yes. miss of the season.
Yeah, so all of a sudden I felt like he was. I'm like, okay, we got a kicker. Now I'll be like thinking when it comes down to crunch time, we'll be like, oh, and here comes Parkey, double doink back out here.
And double doink, I trust.
I say as long
put that on a t-shirt.
As far as kicking goes, at least we're not Tennessee.
Oh, poor Tennessee.
Yeah,
all that work to come back in that game, and I actually had a buddy of mine. Was, you know, all about Steelers. Be ready next week, Ravens. And then it was like second half, and I was like, this game ain't over yet. Yeah. And it was two plays later, here's A.J. Brown, long touchdown. Like, all of a sudden, it's a two-score
game. Messages getting quieter as the game goes on.
Right. So, the Cody Parkey thing, had to put that on here. Penalties, we only had 5. Felt like they came at inopportune times. We talked about the Kevin Johnson pass interference. Defense, you know, really struggled to pressure Burrow. Pass rush needs to improve. They were 6 of 9 on third down, and that's where you win ball games, is on third down. Cincinnati really played well enough offensively. We've talked about this, to win this game. If they just had any type of defense, we're not even in this game. If Baker's not playing lights out, I mean, we needed Baker to play lights out to win this game by 3 on a touchdown with 1 minute left. So if you're a Bengals fan, you loved what you saw on offense. You're thinking kind of the same thing that the Browns are thinking, man, if we'd had a defense, maybe we could win some more ball games. But obviously things have gone the Browns' way this year.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if we're going to transition into the preview for next week, it kind of worries me because as good as Burrow is, I mean, Derek Carr is playing very good
Super
football.
Good.
He's a good quarterback in the NFL, and he's been doing it for a long time. So he's got more experience. I don't know.
Derek Carr is playing sneaky. If you don't know, you're just thinking like, oh, you know, they're getting by all right. I looked up what his season stats are so far. 13 touchdowns, 2 picks. And the one was on a tip ball last week. So he literally had one interception going into the game. Which you wouldn't think that, thinking Derek Carr, you're thinking like, oh, you know, he's...
But we've seen Derek Carr perform at a high level before.
Yes, he was at MVP level a couple years back. He got hurt.
Yep.
But really, you kind of look at who he's doing it with, and that part of it, you know, makes me think, you know, Derek Carr is right there. If he's not elite, he's right below that tier of quarterbacks, because he's got a really good tight end that nobody really wanted, Darren Waller. Nobody wanted him. But he was in Baltimore to start his career, and, you know, now he's in
He's so good.
Yep. He's in Oakland. Awesome.
Well, and I'll tell you what, a shout-out to him, too, because I know he battled with drug addiction and stuff, too, and good for him.
Yep.
Yeah, went out there, you know, Oakland and the Hard Knocks, you could kind of see they bought into him, you know, told him, hey, we're going to do everything to get your head right, get you back, and he's super talented, and you can see he's averaging 57.5 yards a game. Yep. He's got 3 touchdowns on the year, and he's a baller.
Yep.
And you look at some of the other guys, though, that they got on their team, Henry Ruggs, some people questioned him. He's been hurt a lot. Only got 8 catches on the year, but he's averaging 26.5 yards a catch.
When he's out there, he looks really good.
So who's he burning in the Browns secondary this weekend?
Yeah. Hopefully he gets in. Maybe he stubs his toe walking down the ramp or something, because he will shred us if he's on the field. But some of the other guys that he's got to throw to, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
You know.
Aguilar is actually having a turnaround kind of year.
Now, there's a guy, he got discarded by the Eagles because he played like garbage there.
Yeah.
He's been
playing sneaky good.
Yeah, running back wise, Josh Jacobs is a beast. Not putting up huge numbers in the rushing game, but they've been throwing the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh Jacobs is a guy that can win you a game. He's got 394 yards on the season. 5 touchdowns. He has lost 1 fumble, so he's not Zeke Elliott. So, but yeah, Derek Carr coming into this game, 296 a game. And I mean, he's just been balling out, and it just worries me. We just talked about how Joe Burrow carved us up. It kind of feels like we're going to, it's not like a great bounce back week. Like, oh, okay, we're not playing a good quarterback this week. We can kind of get our footing on. No, you're thrown right back into another good offense with an offensive coach and John Gruden. Yep. It'll be interesting, but if we can come out of this game, we can get this win and be 6-2 with a bye.
Yeah.
With our schedule.
Unbelievable. I mean, like, it just, yeah, when we looked at the schedule at the beginning, no, I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. Like, 6-2 with the bye potentially, like, that's awesome. But Derek Carr, like you said, he is doing what we saw Baker do last week, where I don't care what the name on the back of the jersey is. If he's open, I'm throwing the ball. You know, that's how Derek Carr's playing. It's how I saw Tom Brady, same game. Tom Brady plays the same way. It didn't matter. Yep. Mike Evans didn't catch ball till the fourth quarter. He caught like two or something the whole game. Didn't matter.
Right.
If Baker can play that way again, this could be another shootout.
Well, and literally going right off what you said, their defense, also not very good.
Not good at all.
Really, I think it comes down to who our defense, as bad as they are,
whose defense wins the game?
Gets more opportune. We get very opportune turnovers for some reason. Mm-hmm. I just looked. We're fifth on the turnover ratio still. We're still right there.
I still think that's a credit to Myles Garrett.
It's the way he affects plays.
It's the strip sacks and the pressures.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think, honestly, if you're going to give us any sort of defensive edge in this game, it's got to go to Myles Garrett to the Browns.
And their whole O-line was literally out until before. I think who's their one guy? Is it Trent Brown? I don't want to get the name wrong.
Yes, yes, okay. You are correct.
Trent Brown literally still missed that game, but going into that Tampa Bay game, they had no O-line. So I don't know. Obviously, they're professionals. Everything should be great. They're going to have a week of practice. I'm guessing Trent Brown will probably be there.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, he's probably going to get, you know, positive, you know, negatives and all that, whatever. But, so we shall see.
Yeah, so, and they just got done. They played Tampa Bay this week. Got beat 45-20. Looks like they got blown out. But really, at the end in the third quarter, it was a 24-20 game. They just kicked a field goal to bring it within four, and then all of a sudden, it was like touchdown, interception, touchdown. Yep. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does.
That's all it takes to swing a game.
Yeah, it was a couple turnovers, and the game got out of hand. So score really doesn't. You look at that, and you're like, man, Tampa Bay whooped on them. Well, Vegas hung with them.
I watched that game. It was way closer than that
Tampa,
score.
Tampa Bay whooped on Green Bay. The week before. That was a whooping.
So, and we look at kind of who they've beat. They beat Carolina, kind of an upcoming team this year, you know, playing well, beat Drew Brees and the Saints on primetown on Monday night.
Yeah.
And then go to Kansas City, not even at home. At Kansas City, beats them 40-32. Yeah. And the reason that it was only that close is Mahomes tried to have his, like, heroics towards the end of the game to make it that, because it really wasn't that close of a game.
No.
They controlled that entire game. So it is going to be interesting to see. They got a high-powered offense that John Gruden can – I mean, he schemes it up with the best of the best. Mm-hmm. That's why they paid him the 10-year, $100 million or whatever it was to be there, to be their coach. So definitely an exciting game. We played them last – was it last year?
Two years ago.
It was Baker's first career start.
That's another play I'll never forget in my life was when Baker's
the referee
running down the field, just booking it, slides down, gets hit in the head.
Yep. It's Andy Dalton.
Pretty much.
And gets up
and gets right in the defender's face, and the ref says the quarterback was a runner, so therefore he's allowed to be hit in the head. I remember him saying these words.
I don't know how that guy still has a job.
And I'm like, because I was sitting watching with some friends, I'm like, did he just say, like, after the rules all came out, no helmet-to-helmet contact, period, zero tolerance, blah, blah, blah. He said out loud, allowed to be hit in the head. I'm like,
So, and the crazy thing about that game is we ended up losing that game by a field goal in overtime.
Yep.
But if you guys remember, Nick Chubb goes for a first down. Looks like we completely get the first down. Referee, nope, doesn't make it, goes to overtime. Wild game, too. Absolutely. That was a fun season for
it. It was.
I mean, it was.
But right there, though, that's a great example of a game that we could have won, probably should have won, but we lost.
Yep.
And this year, so far, any game that's had that sort of narrative going on, we've won.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we're down 35, you know, or 24-0, don't worry about it. We know we're going to lose the game. But
right.
If it's close, hey, we should be okay.
Going into this game, couple last things. Turnover ratio for them, we're sitting at, what'd you say we were?
I want to say that we are, God, I want to say it was either plus five. The last I looked, they're negative five.
Yes, they are negative five. So yeah, we can get some turnovers. They're obviously kind of turnover prone. That's one of the knocks on Derek Carr is he can throw some bad passes. You can put up big numbers, but if you're turning the ball over, maybe that's why you're putting up big numbers. They're giving up 283 yards a game to the pass. So maybe this is another game where Baker kind of keeps it moving.
Browns are five.
Okay.
Browns are five. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of looking forward to seeing if Baker can really build off this. Put those fans out there that are saying, oh, it's because you played the Bengals. That's why you put together a good game. I'd love to see him build on it. But I'd also like to see Kareem Hunt kind of have a big game. He's yet to have a big game with Nick Chubb out.
Yes. How do you like that? I'm sorry, I'm looking at these numbers. The Browns are top five in turnover differential. We're fourth. Mm-hmm. Raiders are bottom five.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
And you think about it, we're 5-2, they're 3-3. How mm-hmm. much of that is that difference?
Well,
that takes them to that 5-2, and you know, if we were the opposite, we'd probably be sitting 3-3.
I say the Cowboys are at rock bottom at negative 13.
That's so crazy. It's so crazy how bad their defense is. When they actually have some players on their defense, you're like, man, Jalen Smith's really good.
I would
take
some of those players.
Oh, Van Der Esch?
Everson Griffin was just traded today.
Everson Griffin was just traded today. They just literally for...
They got a couple quarterbacks I would take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know whoever their defense...
Mike McCarthy sucks.
Well,
he's a terrible coach.
Keep talking. I have to look this up.
Okay. So, McCarthy... I'm not going to lie, when he was out there as a coach, I wasn't against the Browns bringing him in, you know, and seeing, because he was good in Green Bay. But now you look at it, you're like, man, Aaron Rodgers is really good in Green Bay. And Mike McCarthy just, you know, there.
When they brought in McCarthy, because they interviewed him or whatever, and I got the same sinking feeling I got the year before when they interviewed Adam Gase.
Oh, I'm my like, gosh, your just, buddy.
I'm like, please, God, don't sign him. Don't do it. Like,
sure enough.
Oh, yep. My Lord.
So what Blake sent was, he was like, man, Dallas truly, truly is the Cleveland Browns of this year. He sent a thing saying Mike Nolan, their defensive coordinator, was going to do a press conference, but had to delay the press conference because he was eating chicken wings or something with tobacco sauce and got it in his eye and couldn't see. And so they had to shut down the press. I mean, like, you can't make this stuff up. Like, this is
Could you imagine making that call?
The thing I love chicken wings, but I'm like, you know, like, I'm not smashing like Tabasco sauce and chicken wings.
But why would you tell anybody? You know what I mean? Like, make something
just be like,
up.
Hey, he had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, can't make this stuff up.
So, Dallas, you can have fun, you know, being kind of the laughing stock right now of the NFL.
Yeah.
Now playing with their third string quarterback there down in Dallas. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Can we move on to 6-2 going into the bye? We have a favorable schedule after the bye. And somebody named Nick Chubb is going to be returning
around the corner. I'll tell you what. So, well missed. Anybody, now I could be crazy. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, as soon as we sign Hunt to that deal, Chubb's gone. If you still think that, you're crazy.
Nope.
You are crazy.
Nope. Those two, and you, I love watching those two on the sidelines and between plays and stuff. Those guys are buddies. You know what I mean? They're out there. They respect each other, and they know that the success one is having is largely in part to the success the other one's having.
And if one's successful, the other one's successful.
And we've seen nothing but that.
Yep. Yeah. I can't wait to see Nick Chubb get back out there. I can't wait.
So we'll get to hopefully see him, you know, right after the bye week. We'll kind of keep an eye on that. I think that kind of does our preview for the...
I'll say real quick before we wrap up the preview, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. And Blake, if you're listening, go ahead and chime in here.
Yes.
Just make your call right now, gut reaction. Are the Browns a better team without Odell Beckham Jr. moving forward this season, starting Sunday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually text you guys as it happened. I said, we won't see I like him. The guy is so good. He's so explosive. When we signed him, I thought that was such a huge move for the Browns. I'm like, wow, I'm not even kidding. We won't see him ever again in a Browns uniform playing.
I think at the end of the year, he's going
to want more money. It sucks because he's hurt now. So it's going to be hard for him to move to, you know.
Right. I'm not going to go that far yet. I'm not gonna go that far yet. I'll probably be on Blake's side, even though me and Blake normally don't see eye to eye on this podcast.
Absolutely.
The verdict's still out for me. I'm not saying that we can't be. I'm not saying that we won't be, but it's just right now. We looked great on Sunday. I need to see more. I need to see another game of it. I know we saw Baker's rookie season, but I got to see after this week if Baker looks as great as he did. I know Oakland, but to do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yep,
and it's not Baker like.
Yes. So
and it was against
Cincy. It is because and the thing is, I have seen it in 2018. Yeah. I saw it.
So what are you saying, Josh?
I'm with Justin, 100%. Yes, I think Baker's a better quarterback without Beckham. There's a reason that things went down the way they did in New York. You know, yet and the thing is, as fans, whatever, we don't get the whole story. So Blake said in here, this a lot of what we're talking about is speculation. I get that, but my gut feeling, based on what I've seen and my research as a fan, just watching these games, I think we're going to be okay moving forward on offense.
Absolutely,
I'm excited to see it.
Me too.
Me too.
And especially when we get Chubb back too, because
oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, if you look at it and you would tell us that going into this game, we felt like we had a chance, but you're not going to have OBJ and you're not going to have Nick Chubb. And we're like, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, we're going to be fine. I'm actually very optimistic, which usually I'd be like, the season's over, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'd like to see it. And I feel like I'm like speaking, Blake Rettner is speaking through me right now, but I'd like to see it from somebody other than like a Cincinnati defense.
Correct.
Yeah. Let me see it against, let me see it against something a little bit better than Cincinnati's defense. I hate to be that guy, but.
Well, so Blake says it's tough to answer because the schedule is so soft. He expects us to win these games with or without Beckham.
When he's
way
not,
to ride the fence there, Blake.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And he's not.
Sounds like a politician there with that answer.
Yeah, that's fair. I completely get what you're saying. It is. Well, hey, we play Baltimore. We play Pittsburgh.
Right.
We will. And the thing is, we will see. Yeah. We will know the answer to this question by the end of the season.
Yes.
Yep. So. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that'll take us into our game picks. We'll kind of review last week's and make our picks for this week. Blake was kind enough to send us his week 8 game picks via cell phone, so we will add those to the board here today. So we got last week, your winner with an 11-3 record was yours truly, making my comeback charge. The games that I chose to take a chance on paid off for me this week.
Which ones were those?
I picked Detroit. That was my big one. Mm, Detroit was my big win, and I think I was just the only one this week. Pretty much everything else, I stayed with the pack. Justin was terrible. Justin was the one with the
Dallas. I picked some. I picked some. You know,
not terrible.
Add to the list of teams I will not be picking. Oh, it's the entire NFC East.
Yes.
So not terrible though.
How bad?
10-4.
Oh.
10-4.
I would take that.
Yeah, you weren't that bad. Yeah, you were fine.
Oh, cool.
So, Josh, you were also 10-4 on the week, and Blake was 9-5.
Wow, way to go, Blake. Yeah,
he was too worried about that wedding.
Yeah,
too much. So, 9-5 for Blake. So that takes us to Josh. Your total is 78-27 on the year. Pretty good. 78 wins for you. Justin, 72 wins for you, 6 games back. Blake is sitting at 72 wins as well.
Oh, my.
So you have now pulled even with Mr. Rennie.
Yeah. Tied up. Okay.
And I am sitting at 73 wins.
Oh, so snuck
I am out of the cellar.
So me and Blake are buying meals.
I like how you went out of order there.
Yeah. So I just went across. Purpose. I went across the board. So
well done.
I'm just making my comeback
over here.
I'm making my comeback. So we'll dive
Better fact check all these scores down the road here. I'm just kidding, man.
We'll move into week 8. Some really good games on the schedule. Start off here with Atlanta at Carolina on Thursday night.
So rumors coming out of Carolina, CMC might be playing in that game. Which is terrible for my fantasy team because I've been rocking Mike Davis for weeks. Right? And I play Zachary Kopp this week.
And I got CMC.
So we'll see. Regardless of what happens, I think Atlanta, it's too inconsistent. I don't know what I'm getting week to week with them. I'm benching their players other than Julio. So I'm going to go with Carolina.
Okay. Who do you got here?
Carolina.
Man, they could have won this game this week.
Who, Atlanta?
Todd Gurley, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Just and it was crazy. And we've kind of talked about this before of just like letting the team score and giving your offense a chance. Because really, if he falls down there, they could have blocked the field goal, I guess. But it was, I mean, just a little pooch kick to win the game. Yep. But Todd Gurley goes in and scores, and Matt Stafford does what he does, just drives right down the field and is able to win the game. But I am going to go Carolina as well. Blake went with the group. He took Carolina as well in this game. Wouldn't surprise me, though. Atlanta's got so many weapons that...
You just don't know what you're going to get. They could show up and put up 40 and...
Yeah, so...
They're terrible. How frustrating would it be to be a Falcons fan?
Fan for the last 20 years.
It's kind of like, I mean, your Falcons fans and your Dallas Cowboys fans are kind of like, man, we got Julio and Calvin Ridley, and we just got Hayden Hurst, and he's a good tight end. Yes. We got Todd Gurley, and Matt Ryan's still not a terrible quarter, but we can't win any games.
You know what's funny is Hugh Jackson won only one game, too, with not good players.
Right.
Anything you can do.
Yeah, so we're going to flex. This game got flexed to 4:25 start time, but probably game of the week. That's why it got moved. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Big time game. Tough one here. It's at Baltimore. So because it's at Baltimore, I'm still going to pick the Steelers to win this game.
And I absolutely am on board with you. Even Big Ben didn't even have a good game last. I was like, wow, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
Yep.
They almost gave the game away. And even it still wasn't even as close as the score looked.
Right.
And a lot of things had to happen for that to go down like that. But yeah, they are just, I don't think.
Okay. So the Ravens are this run heavy team. Right?
Yep.
Yes.
And, well, first of all, Mark Ingram, is he out? Injured, whatever.
We don't know. Banged up.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Dobbins hasn't been getting a lot of run, so they're probably going to use Gus Edwards as their primary running back.
I would assume
so. And Pittsburgh is pretty much shutting down the run.
Yeah, they even bottled up Derrick Henry.
I mean, Derrick Henry had a good game because he's Derrick Henry, but...
Right, but it wasn't your typical Derrick Henry's getting 6 yards a carry. He had to run a man's game.
I see Pittsburgh. I think they might dominate them.
I mean,
if you're going to make Lamar Jackson have to throw, we've said this before.
The only way that I think that Baltimore can win this game is Lamar Jackson has to be phenomenal, be able to get outside the pocket and just scramble and run.
Not going to happen.
For touchdowns.
Yeah, that's going to be the only way. I don't know if you guys were watching, but in that game, right before Derrick Henry ended up getting a touchdown diving over the end zone, but he ran from it was on the 2-yard line or 1-yard line, and he tried to run it right at the middle, and the Steelers came and just met him in the hole and lit him up.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know any other team that
could pull that off.
Does that to Derrick Henry.
And you think about Pittsburgh last year, they had no quarterback whatsoever. They'd have been better not putting anybody at quarterback last year.
Yeah.
And they still were fighting for a playoff spot because of their defense.
And their coaches.
Man, and there's still people
fans,
that...
You guys complain all you want about Tomlin, man.
Yeah. There's people doing it during that game. I'm in a chat or a group on Facebook and Tomlin's letting them back in the game. No, are you kidding me? So Josh, who you got? We got Blake also took Pittsburgh, taking Pitt as well. So everybody's got the same pick so far. Moves us into Jared Goff and the Rams taking on Tua and the Dolphins. Tua's first start against Aaron Donald.
Yeah, give me the Rams. Give me the Rams.
All right, I will let you know that Blake took the Rams, and I'm going to take the Rams as well. I think Tua is going to be successful. I just don't like this matchup, even though it's at home and they're off a bye. I just don't like this matchup against that front.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Okay.
Wow.
They have no tape on Tua.
No tape. This is true.
And the Dolphins dismantled the 49ers. I don't know. And I'll tell you what, the Rams' offense is not impressive to me.
It'll be interesting. They don't have a run game because they use
so many backs.
8 different running backs. So that's a big problem. Jared Goff is a competent quarterback, and they got all kinds of weapons on the outside. But their run game, I would make them run the ball against me. Mm-hmm.
if I'm any team that's going up against them.
That's another one. Miami, I saw, is shopping Xavien Howard.
Oh, my gosh. I would take him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Please. Make those calls.
Yeah. with Miami, it'll be interesting. You know, Fitzpatrick came out, was kind of emotional and, you know, a little bothered by the benching.
It should be.
If Tua comes out, struggles, how short of a leash does Tua have?
You can't go back. You cannot go back.
You ride him, and even though
absolutely.
You're 3-3.
They've made the commitment.
They made the commitment to Tua immediately after that game before the bye week. Yep. And then now the reports come out, they're shopping their best defensive player. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you want to win games, but I don't think they're worried about whether or not we make the playoffs. They're worried about getting the right people in, getting the experience, and getting ready for next year, I think.
And I saw Flores said, hey, we felt like it was the time. He's ready, we're ready, and we're moving forward. So I don't see them ever going back. I think there's a better chance that Fitzy gets traded than
and let's not forget they have all of Houston's draft picks for the most part.
Oh
so
my God. Yeah. Thank you, Bill O'Brien.
They're ready to get their young guys now up to snuff for next year and then bring in a whole new crop of young talent and watch out for Miami.
They had a great draft last year. This past year.
Yeah. Okay. Takes us into Adam Gase gets to take on Patrick Mahomes at Kansas City. I'm going to go ahead and put
game of the week.
Casey on the board.
Who's taking the next Jets game. In this game?
Next game.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Funny, I'm Kansas City. Yeah. I'm
funny
fine.
Thing.
Kansas City,
I got to ask. I'm going to put Blake down here for the Jets.
He said that, did he? It's crazy.
Well, he's not here to defend himself.
Absolutely not.
So, okay. Minnesota actively shopping. A lot of their players before the deadline at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people were like, man, he looked really bad against Tampa Bay. All we did this week for my fantasy team was throw touchdowns.
Yep.
So I'm going to go Green Bay.
And I am absolutely on board with you. Yep. I'd like to disagree with you, like, at least for, like, one thing. Yeah. So that we can at least
that's what I'm thinking. Like, are any of these
here?
Games going to, like, no, give me the Packers, too, because I can take Minnesota here.
Yeah, so far, me, Blake, and Justin have every pick the same. The only one different from Josh is the Miami over the Rams. Takes us into this one. We might get some differences here, maybe. Indianapolis at Detroit. Indy at Detroit. Indy, 4-2. Still looking like a playoff team going against Detroit, who's trying, you know, to stay relevant, stay in that playoff hunt in the other conference.
Give me the Colts.
Colts? Josh?
All right, give me the Lions.
Attaboy.
Yep.
And I'm going to go to the Lions as well. Good. At home, so we got a 2-2 split there. Blake took Indianapolis.
Good.
I like Matt Stafford.
I do too.
And I think that DeAndre Swift is slowly going to be the lead
guy. They don't
know
how to use him, man.
No, they need to
just get rid of, just sit Peterson, just get him out of there.
Sounds like somebody who's got maybe Swift on a fantasy team.
I drafted him and then I let him go because I'm wishy-washy. I just be dropping guys and picking guys up, moving people. I'm very active out there.
You better be good or Justin's moving on. You better perform.
I'll give you 2 weeks and then if you don't perform for me, I'm moving on to the next guy. I'm going to drop down the road.
Swift is a guy, he needs 20 carries a game.
Yeah.
He's so electric.
Based on just how athletic he is. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to skip over the Browns. We'll go to Tennessee Titans. Poor Cincy moves on from us. Tough game. They get to take on Tennessee coming off a loss.
And it's in Cincy.
What do you think?
Give me the Titans.
Yep. Titans. I don't care where they play it.
Yeah. I'm going to go. It wouldn't surprise me if Cincy kind of hangs in this game for a little while, but I think Derrick Henry's just going to become too much. Yeah. And I don't think Burrow is going to be able to keep it up.
No.
Okay. Kind of a letdown team here, New England at Buffalo. Cam Newton gets benched.
Are we arguing anymore about which team is going to be on the winning this division?
Yeah, because I definitely.
Yeah, I know what you're pointing at me for.
All I know is.
I thought you were going to come at me about it.
I took Buffalo. If we go back to one of the first episodes, I said Buffalo.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
We all said.
And
you
everybody
know,
else said New England
they
because.
Apart, and they have.
And they have. And Cam Newton looks terrible.
Now I'm. The throwing motion, come on. This is what I was talking about before. He looks, he can't do it anymore.
He came out and said, if I play that bad again, then I'm not going to have a job. Well, no wonder because
you
were
barely had a job
garbage.
This year.
Yeah. He looks like he got so old so quickly.
How does he throw for 300, 400 yards against Seattle in week 2?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what happened.
Did you see the stat where Tom Brady has, I think it's 18 touchdowns, passing touchdowns this year, and the Patriots have 3?
Wow. I didn't see that.
That's tough.
So I'm going to take Buffalo here. Has anybody taken New England?
No.
But right. It's Blake funny because not. That we whole Brady versus the system argument.
Yeah.
Brady really wanted to win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I see in New England is you got Cam Newton. I don't think he's winning you any games. You have Jared Stidham on the bench. The only time that you keep playing him this year is pulling him into a game that you're already getting killed in.
Slacked, yeah.
And letting him throw picks.
And just like throwing him into fire and being like, okay, kid, get out there and just show us what you got. I wish that if I'm them, I don't think that we're going anywhere this year. Mm-mm. I'm playing Stidham, seeing if he is, you're going to find out quick if he's the guy or not.
Yep, I agree.
And I would just, I don't think putting him in the situation where you're putting him in late in games when you're down by 30 is the situation to put him
in. Well, just imagine if, like, instead of having Cam Newton or, like, Stidham, they had a guy, like, named Justin Fields as their quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, that's the future outlook there. Yeah. And if I'm all Coach Bill,
man,
I'm throwing Cam out there and sitting out there all day.
And these arguments are going to be out there that Bill can't, it was all Tom. It was all Tom in New England.
Oh, and Bill doesn't want that either. Yeah, so both of these guys are.
So it's definitely it's going to be fun to watch. You know, the end of this year, going into what happens with.
I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the year though if they made some changes. Not with coach at top, but like that offense doesn't look very good. Josh McDaniels and
How much was that? Was you know just Tom Brady? Which I've seen a lot of things with. Okay, so Tom Brady's in Tampa. Bruce Arians is there, and. If you've noticed, the first couple weeks, everybody was like, you know, they got all these weapons. Maybe they look really good on paper. Maybe they're not, you know, fantastic. Everybody kind of questioned it. And I've heard in some reports that Tom Brady's getting more control. They're letting him put in some different things into the offense. Yeah. And then what have they done the last couple weeks?
Yeah, blown up. And you even personnel-wise.
Gronkowski, blown up.
Remember Arian said in March, we will never bring AB into this team. He is a diva.
He's coming.
He is signed.
Yep.
Yeah. And watch out. I mean, I could be crazy, but I've seen that. I've seen Tom Brady to Antonio Brown before, and it looked pretty sweet.
Yeah,
Can't wait.
And Chris Godwin's going to be, he's hurt this, now he's got a broken finger, so he's out.
It doesn't matter. They've got so many.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's been, I think, the biggest change is they've given. So now it kind of makes me think, how much was Tom doing some stuff in New England that makes Josh, you know, McDaniels look a little better?
If you think about it, in New England, like, they always had, like, okay receivers. They didn't have, like, elite receivers, but it didn't matter because Brady was always – he would make people. He made Edelman an elite receiver.
He doesn't look elite right now.
Well, and now he's in Tampa Bay, and he's doing the same kind of thing where he's like
– Scotty Miller looks like a young Julian Edelman.
Scotty, you're open. Here you go. I mean – and then a couple games ago, he didn't catch a pass. He didn't even get targeted.
Yeah, donut.
Yeah, so now, and one of my biggest things that I see with Brady, that like kind of, he's better than Breeze right now. Brady can still throw the ball.
Yes.
Like he's still throwing some bombs and putting
43
it.
43 years old.
Yeah. So
that one he laced it good. The guy went in the just completely just threw
Scotty Miller had one where he just dropped a Russell Wilson moon ball.
Crazy.
Yeah, so going to be fun. All right, so we got the Chargers at Denver.
Give me the Chargers.
Denver starting to question, is Drew Lock our guy?
Yeah, he does not look good.
So is everybody.
Yeah.
So
and neither is Brett Rypien or whoever.
He's only played
Brent Rypien. Who cares?
About two games now this year. Drew Lock, really, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Last week he got hurt.
He got hurt in the Pittsburgh game.
He got hurt in the Pittsburgh. He played week one. Again, and look good. We kind of raved about him after week one. We're like, man, we really like this Drew Lock guy. Then he got hurt, and then he's played the last 2 weeks, I believe.
Yep.
Okay.
But I want the other quarterback.
I'm going Herbert.
Herbert
and their defense. I'm taking Herbert.
Yeah, give me the Chargers.
Okay, we're all like there. Blake took LAC as well. So that takes us to New Orleans at Chicago. I'm going to go, I'll start us off, I'm going to go New Orleans.
Really?
Okay. Because I'm going to go New Orleans just based off the fact that I don't think that, I think Chicago's defense is elite.
Yes.
But I saw I saw the game last night, and they just, Nick Foles put up some yards, but they can't score.
Yeah.
They can't run the ball.
Yeah.
That's normally a Chicago thing. They can beat you up, run the ball, and they can't right now. So I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints' weapons on offense.
Yep. What are you doing, Josh?
I'm going to do the Saints, too. I mean, I'm with you. For as good as the Bears' defense is, their offense is equally as crappy. I mean, it's bad. Yeah. It is terrible.
I'm going to take Chicago.
Wow.
And I was going to take Chicago off the bat. At home? I was kind of like surprised when, now don't get me wrong, I watched some of that game last night and I was thinking the same thing. I'm like,
now, do you know that Allen Robinson might not play?
It's fine.
Oh.
Completely fine with me. All right. Next man up.
It's not fine with me because I just lost OBJ. I don't need to lose any more players. I got Mostert hurt. I got Carson hurt. I got OBJ's out. I don't need any more.
That's the way this year has been, man. Yeah. Everybody.
Next man up.
Okay, so now that takes us to this is a fun matchup here.
Good.
This is a fun matchup. San Fran at Seattle.
Talk about next man up. As far as especially those running backs in San Fran.
It don't matter.
Dude, how many running backs are there on their roster? Like 12?
And then the next guy up looks better than the first guy.
Yeah.
How about everybody was, okay, so Mostert's out, and they're like, Jerick McKinnon's your guy. I think he had one carry.
Yeah. And then it was
Jeff Wilson Jr. gets in there.
Exploded.
Gets hurt.
But look, great.
They bring in that.
I was like, of course he would get hurt.
New guy in. And what they need to look at, San Fran, is who's training these guys? Because we can't keep these guys healthy.
Yeah.
What kind of regimen, what diet plan are we on here? Because we're getting guys hurt everywhere on our team.
Hey, as the guy who signed Jamichael Hasty 2 weeks ago,
It looks good. Things are looking up.
Nickname Marshawn Lynch is what they're saying Hasty is like.
Oh yeah.
Also activated this week, Tevin Coleman.
I have him.
So
I drafted Mostert. I drafted Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. Well, and then that didn't
work out.
Like typical San Francisco, who's going to be out there?
You don't know.
You don't know.
Kyle Shanahan ain't telling you.
No. You'll find out Sunday at 4:25. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take Seattle, though. Russell Wilson, even though he kind of cost his team the win this week with some interceptions, throwing three picks, just saying he's got six picks. Baker's only got seven. Yep. Just saying that he's only one ahead of Baker, I'm taking Seattle.
Are they getting ready to bench Russell Wilson out there in Seattle?
Geno Smith, next man.
Yeah, right? Okay. So I really, really want to go with San Francisco here. I really, really do. But I'm not going to because in Seattle, Russell Wilson's going to come out, bounce back game.
They don't lose two in a row very often.
It's a nice reminder, though, that even the MVP front runner at quarterback come out and have a game that cost you a game.
It was a bad game, but three touchdowns, three interceptions.
Well, don't mistake anything here. He was the reason they were in the game.
He was the reason they were in the game. The picks just deterred him from winning the game.
Yeah.
So we got three picks Seattle. Blake picks Seattle. Josh.
Seattle.
Seattle. It's a clean sweep there. That'll take us into Sunday night thriller. Dallas Cowboys at the Eagles.
Yeah, I will never pick Dallas ever again.
That's what I said about the Eagles, though.
I'll tell you what. I'll take the Eagles. At least I like what they're doing out there a little bit more than Dallas is.
And
this is the kind of game, though, Dallas, if they can stop anybody, you know.
I'm taking Philly because I'm picking Carson Wentz over DiNucci, whatever his name is.
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Even though he came out first pass, he threw it to, it could have been a 80-yard touchdown to Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper just can't run anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm taking Philly and Carson Wentz, and their defense up front is really good at getting after the passer, so I expect a lot of blitzes and DiNucci getting hit quite often.
I expect a lot of Folgum now that DeSean Jackson is hurt again.
Jeffrey might be back.
I am
not big thinking he's going to do much.
I picked him up just for like a week because I was like, maybe he's opportunity because there's nobody else there. No.
Yeah. So what do you got? So we got three Philly picks. Blake also picked Philly.
I'll take Philly.
Oh, and it kills him.
You know they're going to go to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have about a 6-10 record and go to the playoffs.
Yep.
That division's been like that for, like, I want to say that happened like 2 years ago. It was like 7-9. Somebody's getting in. Last week, it was like Dallas and Philly or something like that.
Right. Winner gets in at 7-9.
Yeah, and Philly won. Yep.
Okay, so we got Tampa Bay at the Giants on Monday night.
Oh, thank God. NFC East is not playing the NFC East.
Yeah, do we have many picks on this? Because I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah, I think this is going to be a clean sweep.
TB.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's
on to the Browns game.
Yep, that takes us, circles back up. Las Vegas Raiders at Cleveland Browns, 1 o'clock game. I am taking the Cleveland Browns to go 6-2 heading into the bye. Spoiler, Blake also picked the Cleveland Browns. So we'll leave it to you two.
Josh?
I'm going Browns. I'm going 38-36.
Very nice.
Las Vegas is going to fly all the way across the country to come here, go back with a loss.
I like it.
So going into this
you're
game.
You're going to do this. You're going to pick the Raiders, aren't you?
Oh, not Justin.
Not me.
No way.
I'm taking the Browns. Little known fact here, if anybody's at the game on Sunday, yours truly will be there. They're going to do it for me.
But the curse is broken.
The curse is broken, and I'm going to start putting my own streak together, a new streak.
Oh, I like it. So, changing your fortune there a little
bit.
Changing
the fortune. So if you see me at the game, you know, if it's us and, you know, one of the 12,000 people, make sure you shout us out. I have to work that night, so I probably won't be drinking. I'll probably keeping it casual.
Okay.
But
that's in case anybody works just is watching.
Yeah, just in case my work friends are watching. That's not a Bud Light. But I will take the Browns, 35-28, high scoring. I think that it really comes down to first offense to make a mistake, first defense to get a turnover or multiple turnovers. I'm taking our defense over theirs.
Yeah. Which,
Myles Garrett over there.
So. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun game. Another game where it's probably going to be like the Bengals game, back and forth. Who gets the turnover? Who can get that stop in a key moment? Hopefully we're not sitting on the edge of a chair with 1:06 left hoping Baker drives down the field, even though it was exciting. I'd rather have it in the bag a little bit quicker than that.
Yep, and should have. Terrence, catch that ball.
Oh, my gosh.
Catch that ball. And then we don't have to talk about how great that heroics was.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was, though.
Yeah, so that wraps up our game picks. So I think that pretty much wraps up our episode. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Dogs. Remember to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe on YouTube. We'll have everyone back in the studio next week. Hopefully Blake makes it back okay to break down the Raiders game and kind of give you our outlook of the rest of the season going into the bye week and what we think might happen the rest of the year. Hope everyone has a great week. Go Browns.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.